You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Well, Merry Christmas, Church. Kids, you have been so good this whole service. I haven't heard a single peep out of any of you. Why don't you go ahead and reach into your service pack, and in there is a kids pack made just for you. And there's a little bit of chocolate in there, and if there isn't, it's probably because your parents got in there before you did, and you can take that up with them after the service. This is my 43rd Christmas. I know my kids tell me that I'm ancient. But 43 Christmases, and all of those Christmases, they've all shared some similarities, like the food and the family traditions that we share and the worship service on Christmas Eve. And while they have all shared these similarities, each one of them has been different. Like the year that I spent Christmas Eve in a cast with a broken ankle. Or then there was the Christmas Day when I got food poisoning. And I had to make trips to the bathroom between every present that I opened. And even more different and much more difficult was the last year we spent with Gina's mom, who was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. And then the first Christmas we gathered where she was sorely missed. Throughout the years, Christmas, the same but different. This might be your 10th Christmas or maybe your 90th Christmas, but I trust you know something about which I'm speaking. Christmas, the same, but different. And this year is particularly different. I mean, the gatherings are small, and as you're looking around your living room, there are probably people who are missing and are sorely missed. And the festivities this year, they're few and far between. And that different, it can be really difficult. Yet, despite all the differences, this Christmas Eve is the same as last year. Can you remember last year? Tonight is the same as Christmas Eve 10 years ago. Can you remember back that far? Tonight, this Christmas Eve is the same as Christmas Eve 50 years ago and 100 years ago. Tonight is the same as some 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas Eve. You see, there is one thing that unites all of these nights together, one thing that will forever be the same. Jesus, the Son of God, stepped out of heaven and into our lives. See, the one thing that has not changed this Christmas is that God's presence has come to us in and through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, for the past four Sundays of Advent, we have been taking songs. We've been preparing our hearts for this night through song. We've been preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus. And we've been taking these familiar songs that we sing, words that are familiar to us that we sing year after year. And my hope has been that as we tell the story behind the song, that God might bring something fresh into our lives, that we might go beyond the words in order to encounter the God who inspired them. And this evening, I want to do the same. I want us to this evening take the song that John sings at the very beginning of his gospel, as he begins his gospel account. It's written as a poem. And it goes like this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I mean, this is the greatest Christmas song that was ever written. And it's the greatest song, not simply because of the imagery that John uses or the poetic nature of his words. It's the greatest Christmas song ever written because of the truth that it proclaims. And tonight, through John's Christmas song, I want us to hear the truth about that which can never change. Because on this night, we both celebrate and receive the same very things that the world celebrated and received on that first Christmas Eve. And John's song draws our attention to three things that are the same tonight as they were that very first night. First, tonight, we celebrate and receive the same love, the love of heaven. When John writes his song, he says, "The Word became flesh." One translator says that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. Now, spoiler alert, when John speaks about the Word, he is using that as a phrase to describe Jesus. You see, John picks a phrase in his day and age that meant something specific to the multicultural environment in which he lived. The phrase that he chooses for his song in the Greek is ha logos. And in English, it means the Word. And so the logos, it meant something specific to the different cultures that John lived with. For instance, to the Stoics, the logos referred to the source of all life and the force that brought order to chaos. To others of the Greek speakers of John's day, the logos was described as the captain and pilot of the universe. I love that. And then to John's fellow Jews, the logos, the Word, it spoke about God's self-revelation to the world. It was the Word that the prophets spoke, and the words written in the Scripture. It was the Word that revealed God's character, His nature, and His plan for salvation to the world. And so John writes the song about the Word, the Logos, which is God's self-revelation to the world, the captain and pilot of the universe, the source of all life, the force that brings order to the chaos. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. You see, Christmas, that very first Christmas Eve, Jesus came as God with skin on in order to bring the rescue of heaven, in order to bring the renewal of heaven, the life of heaven to us. And the question that begs to be asked is why? Why would Jesus step out of the throngs of heaven and into the mire of our world and our problems? Well, in a word, love. He did it for love. You see, love always needs to find a form. It's like our human love. Our human love doesn't remain in the privacy of a heart or the sentimentality of a hidden place. No, love takes a form in acts of compassion and care toward other people. Like charades, the words on a page, they need to take form in the actions of the actor in order to be understood by the watching world. And so it is with God's love. Love needs to find a form, and it has found its most perfect form in the person of Jesus. Now, there are some religious systems that would say God is so great, that He is so great and holy, that He wouldn't even touch a human person. But the Christmas story tells us that God's love is so great that not only would he touch a human person, he would become one. And as a human person, he would bear the sins of the world and suffer their consequences. That's love. My daughter is 11 years old. She's in grade 6, and just this last week, she had to have some vaccinations at her school along with the rest of her class. It's something that you do when you're in grade 6. And my daughter is like most kids and like most normal human beings. She hates needles. And she was a little anxious about this day, thinking about it all week. And on that day when we sent her to school, my father's heart was breaking a little bit. All day I was thinking about the anxiety she was feeling and her fear of the pain that she was about to receive. And I kept thinking, oh Lord, what I wouldn't do to take her place so that she might not have to feel the anxiety and might not have to have the pain of that needle. I mean, what loving parent wouldn't want to do that for their child? At Christmas, we remember that the love of God the Father took on flesh as God the Son, who took the needle of sin and death in our place so that sin and death would not have the final word in our life. That's love. And that is the love that broke into the world on that first Christmas Eve, and that is the same love that God offers every single one of us on this very night. On this Christmas Eve, we celebrate and we receive the same love. But we also celebrate and receive the same life. John sings about it in his song, of course. He sings about life with four simple words. He says, "In him is life." In Jesus is life. Now, John wants us to know about the particular kind of life that Jesus possesses. And John simply doesn't want us to know that Jesus was a living, breathing human person, though he was. That's not what John is trying to tell us here, because in his song, he doesn't use the word bios. It's the Greek word where we get our English word biology from. John isn't telling us about Jesus' biology. Rather, he wants to tell us about a different kind of life that Jesus has, that Jesus enjoys, because he uses the Greek word zoe. Now, mark this, church. The zoe life of God is the life that God has. It's the life that God experiences. It's the life that God enjoys, being perfectly at home in himself, existing as a community of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At Christmas, God is pulling back the curtain so that we can see with our own very eyes, when we see Jesus, what life is meant to be, what life is all about. But not only is he pulling back the curtain so we can see with our eyes, he's pulling back the curtain so that we might experience the very same life that Jesus experiences. It's absolutely spectacular. It's the gift of Christmas. Later in John's gospel, he writes these words that might sound familiar to your ears. He says, "God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. They won't be condemned, but they shall have everlasting life." Or in the Greek, everlasting zoe. The Jesus of Christmas, he comes bearing the life of heaven, so that we might experience that same life for ourselves, both now and into eternity. Spectacular. A long time ago, a man named Athanasius of Alexandria. He described Jesus' incarnation, saying, "He became what we are, that he might make us into what he is." Let me say it again. He became what we are, that he might make us into what he is. Alive. Alive with the Zoe life of God. Sons and daughters of God the Father. What a gift. This Christmas, Jesus is actually inviting you to enjoy the same life that he enjoys. Peace with God the Father and joy in the Holy Spirit. Maybe this Christmas, as you look at the world around you, as you look at your life, maybe you're feeling a little tired of your own life. Maybe it feels a lot like BIOS, simply living and breathing, going through the motions like something is missing. Well, maybe this year, it's time for you to open your heart and your mind to a better kind of life. The Zoe life of God that Jesus brings. You need simply but open your heart and invite him to fill it. And you know what, as you do, the circumstances around us, they don't change, but something moves in the fabric of the universe in our own heart and mind. That as Jesus fills us with his life, he brings a flood of his love and his mercy, and we feel a sense of his forgiveness and freedom from things that have weighed us down. We feel reconciled to God the Father. There is healing. There is joy where there once was despair. Maybe that's the gift that God wants to bless you with this Christmas. See, on this very different Christmas Eve, we celebrate and we receive the same love and the same life, but we also celebrate and receive the same light. It's where John goes next in his song. He says, "In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, Christmas is all about Jesus bringing the light of heaven into the darkness that you experience in your world and in your life. And let's face it, 2020 has been a dark and difficult year for many. I was reading an article in a magazine called Science about 2 weeks ago. And in it, the interviewer asked a known historian from Harvard University, Dr. Michael McCormick. The interview asked Dr. McCormick, "What was the worst year to be alive in all human history?" What a question. And Dr. McCormick, he didn't flinch. He had his answer right away. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? The worst year to be alive in all of human history is obviously the year 536. Well, maybe not obviously. Dr. McCormick didn't say it was 2020, as we might think. And he didn't even point to the year 1918, when up to 100 million people died of the Spanish flu. Nor did he point to the year 1349, when about half of Europe was wiped out by the Black Death. He pointed to the year 536. Why? Well, during that year in human history, a dark fog rolled over all of Europe, through the entire Middle East, and over half of Asia. And that dark fog blocked the light of the sun from reaching the earth for 18 months. 18 whole months without being to see the light of the sun. And during that year, The temperature in those areas, it dropped by a couple of degrees, and the crops couldn't produce the food, and people starved. It was a dark year to be alive. And maybe for you, this year feels like the worst year in your history, the worst year you've ever experienced. And maybe it's because you've lost a loved one. Or maybe you've lost a job. Maybe it's simply your loss of freedom. Others of you, you've experienced the darkness of this year because you're dealing with a difficult relationship. Or maybe it's this loneliness or depression and anxiety. For others of you still, maybe it's an addiction that has crept in this difficult time of life. I mean, we experience dark years from time to time. But mark this, church. It is always darkest before the dawn. That first Christmas Eve, it is proof that the light of heaven, the light of heaven's rescue, has come to our earth, and by extension, it has come to your life. That the light of heaven has come to shine in the darkness of the things you experience. And yes, get this, church, one day Jesus will extinguish the darkness once and for all. You see, this is a very different Christmas Eve, but make no mistake about it. The same light has come. The same light that broke into a weak and weary world some 2,000 years ago has come into your living room, even in this moment, by the power of God. And it's the same light that burst through the darkness of the tomb, leaving it empty. On this very different Christmas Eve, that hasn't changed. The light still shines. Later on in John's, when John writes another book, the book of Revelation, he goes on to describe Jesus, calling him the bright morning star. The bright morning star. The bright morning star was the star that appeared in the sky when the night had grown to its darkness. And that the bright morning star, as it rose, it signified one thing. That the sun was rising, that the light had come. And that light has come to us in the person of Jesus. Church, this is a very different Christmas Eve. But think of what's the same. The love of God, and the life of God, and the light of God. That is the power of God in your life. Will you receive it? Will you celebrate Jesus? As a way of responding, as a symbolic way of receiving the light and the life and the love of Jesus this evening, I invite you to take the candle that you received in your packages. And if you didn't get one, you can go and grab a candle. And at the very beginning of the service, Chris, he lit the Christ candle, which symbolizes the light of the world come to us, the light of heaven come to us in the person of Jesus. And as a way of symbolically receiving his love and his life and his light, will you take your candle, the candle of your life, and will you light it from his candle? Receive the light of Christ. And church, as we respond with a song, know that we are united by this candle, the flame of Jesus that came that 2,000 years ago that has power in our life today. Let us join our voices with people all across Kelowna and across BC and even across the world who are with us this evening. Let us join our voices together, united by Jesus, and share in this holy moment as we sing. Because the Word became flesh and blood, and He moved into our neighborhood. I invite you to blow out your candle. Church, as we sing this final song together, don't miss the opportunity to share the love that you have received. Christmas 2020 isn't one to be filed away in the filing cabinet and forgotten all about. It's an opportunity, so don't miss it. Even right now, why don't you take a moment as the band begins to lead us in this last song of worship? Why don't you take a moment right now to turn to the people in the room and tell them that you love them? Tell them that you love them. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. We can even do that when we're in the bubble. And if there are people who you wish were in the room but they're not, why don't you take out your phone right now and send them a text? Tell them you love them. Tell them you're sorry. Tell them you forgive them. Tell them Merry Christmas. Don't miss this opportunity to share the love that we have received in Jesus. Let's do it right now as the band begins to sing. Merry Christmas, church. Merry Christmas.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the trial of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim,
Christ the Lord, the newborn King.